the marathon. Once again, you've been listening to Radio WBAI 99.5 FM, broadcasting from the Empire State Building. Good evening.
And before we go to Computers on the Air with Emmanuel Goldstein, we have this report from Crown Heights, something that's going on right now. Perhaps you heard about it on the news. Here it is.
This is Jerry Edwin again in the Crown Heights section, where the calm that we were all expecting would come has not come. In fact, the police, as I speak, are bringing in more reinforcements. A couple of paddy trucks are passing me. I'm on the corner of Eastern Parkway and Utica Avenue. About a half hour ago, the mayor David Dinkins, came to the home of the victim of the car accident 2 days ago, which of course has proved to be the catalyst for the current state of unrest we have in the Crown Heights district. The mayor came into the home of the victims. He was pelted with, of course, he arrived in his motorcade. That motorcade was pelted with stones, bottles, rocks from the crowd. The mayor had to scurry inside. He emerged a few minutes later and tried to address the crowd, but they would not allow him to speak. The mayor appealed for calm, but he was shouted down. The people were asking for the driver of the vehicle, the car that that killed young Gavin Cato a couple of days ago. And soon after the mayor left again to more bottles and stones, police who had cordoned off both sides of President Street, that is the east and western ends of President Street, moved in on the crowd, and the crowd responded with more bottles and stones, and the police backed off. There were a number of arrests. I myself saw an apparent 12 or 13-year-old kid beaten by the police. He was put in a temporary chokehold and then handcuffed into a car. A couple of females were also shoved into the car with him. As I speak now, even I can see a plume of smoke rising from the the northern end of Utica Avenue, closer to Union Street. It's the unrest continues here and in Crown Heights, and from the position that the police have taken up, it doesn't look as though the peace is going to arrive here anytime soon. Still in Crown Heights, Jerry Edwin for WBAI News.
And this is WBAI in New York. It's just about 9:02 on this rather exciting day. Off the Hook is next. And a very good evening to one and all. This is Off the Hook, the program that normally deals with technology and fun things with telephones and computers. And we'll be dealing with that just a little bit today. But we're also going to be dealing with the major issues of the news. And boy, have there been a lot of major issues in the news in the last couple of days. We'll be taking phone calls and doing all kinds of other interesting things as well. Before we do anything else, though, before we launch into this tirade of things that are going on, I'd like to introduce you to a familiar friend. Ah, yes, it's our familiar dial tone friend, and we are going to connect to a number that some kind listener, actually some kind reader of 2600 sent in, and we will be dialing up that particular number and showing you some of the interesting things that are out there. This is something that is geared towards those political, actually, I guess it was a Freudian slip there, religious, not political, religious groups that want to take your money. You've heard of them. I mean, they are out there. Well, this is something that that they would subscribe to. Take a listen.
Thank you for calling American Communications and Engineering's NSP Revenue Line Demonstration for Ministries and Other Religious Organizations. We'll show you how to increase support from your viewers, listeners, and partners. We'll show you how easy it is for them to obtain your gift offers by using their Visa or MasterCard and their touch-tone phone. Also keep in mind that the message they're hearing is exactly what you want them to hear, in your own voice if you choose, and that you have total control over that information at all times from any touch-tone phone. You'll hear a menu of selections next, so try as many as you like. See how simple it is for your friends to support your organization with our NSP revenue line. If you would like to hear how a caller can make donations to your ministry, press 1. If you would like to hear how a caller can order a book, cassette tape, or other gift offers, press 2. If you would like to hear how a caller can obtain information regarding upcoming events or crusades, press 3. If you would like to hear how a caller can leave a prayer request, press 4. Make your selection now.
Well, let's start with number 1.
Hello, this is Pastor Smith.
Hello.
Thank you so much for calling. As you know, we are expanding the outreach of our ministry. We would be most grateful for your financial and prayer support at this time. If you have called to make a gift, please enter your Visa or MasterCard number now.
So that's what it boils down to. Okay, well, Visa numbers begin with 4, and they generally have 16 digits.
If you would like to return to the main menu, please press 1. If you would like to end this demonstration, press 2.
That sounded like a clock ticking. Okay, let's go back to the main menu.
If you would like to hear how a caller can make donations to your ministry, press 1. If you would like to hear how a caller can order a book, cassette tape, or other gift offers, press 2.
Let's try that one.
Hello, this is Pastor Smith. Thank you so much for calling. Remember, you will be helping us take the gospel message across this nation to those who are hurting. To place an order, enter your Visa or MasterCard number now.
Well, they'll be hurting financially. Okay, let's try this again. See if we get the little ticking clock. There it is.
If you would like to return to the main menu, please press 1.
Let's go back.
If you would like to end this demonstration, press 2.
I said 1. Let's say it again.
If you would like to hear how a caller can make donations to your ministry, press 1. If you would like to hear how a caller can order a book, cassette tape, or other gift offers, press 2. If you would like to hear how a caller can obtain information regarding upcoming events or crusades, press 3.
Let's try that one.
If you would like to hear how a caller... leave a...
Hello, this is Pastor Smith. Thank you so much for calling. Our next crusade will be in Minneapolis, Minnesota on April 3rd. If you would like reservation information, please speak your name and address slowly after the tone, so that we may send you all the particulars.
Your name and address slowly. Well, that's what
for
they
verification,
said.
Your name and address is...
Your name and address slowly.
If that was correct... please press 1.
I'd say that was
correct. That was
correct.
Incorrect.
No, it was correct. It was correct. Don't worry.
If you would like to return to the main menu, please press 1.
Okay.
If you would like to end this demonstration...
we have one more selection to try, so let's try that one more selection.
If you would like to hear how a caller can make donations to your ministry, press 1. If you would like to hear how a caller can order a book, cassette tape, or other gift offers, press 2. If you would like to hear how a caller can obtain information regarding upcoming events or crusades, press 3. If you would like to hear how a caller can leave a prayer request, press 4.
Prayer request, here we go.
Hello, this is Pastor Smith. Thank you for calling. If you would like to leave a prayer request now, simply speak your name and address, and briefly tell us your need after the tone.
Hello, my name is Emmanuel, and I hope for peace in the world, and I hope for those nasty people at the Visa company to stop calling me. That's all.
For verification, your name, address, and prayer request is...
Hello, my name is Emmanuel, and I hope for peace in the world, and I hope for those nasty people at the Visa company to stop calling me. That's all.
If that was correct, please press 1. If that was incorrect, please press 2.
Let's hit a 3 and cause some turmoil.
If that was correct, please press 1. If that was incorrect, please press 2.
How about a pound sign?
If that was correct, please press 1.
I'm so patient.
If that was incorrect, please press 2.
Okay, just a star. Uh-huh.
If you would like to return to the main menu, please press 1. If you would like to end this demonstration, press 2.
Okay, let's finish it off.
Thank you for your prayers and support. Please call again soon.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Okay, well, that was an interesting little demonstration there with the... I forget what the name of the service was, but it's what all you ministers and pastors out there will no doubt be using to sucker money out of people listening on your various radio shows and television programs. Hey, maybe we should get one here at BAI. Maybe we should go all religious. I don't know. Anyway, that's a look at one of the things that that somebody found and sent in to us. And keep looking out there. Keep looking for those 800 numbers that connect you to rather interesting things. Well, it's been a very newsworthy week. I like to focus on something trivial before I focus on the important things. And, of course, the trivial matter of inclement weather, which... some of you may have noticed, some of you may not have noticed, depending on what it was that that actually happened to you and where you are geographically. I was out on the island, which is where I live, out in Suffolk County, and that's where this hurricane seems to have hit the most. Now, mind you, it did not hit very hard where I was, but it apparently hit one power line that has knocked out entire communities in western Suffolk, and it's been rather discouraging to see how things have turned out. You know, when the power first went out, okay, and this is something that I've learned so much from. First of all, when the power first went out at about 10 o'clock in the morning on Monday, I was right there on the telephone, and I always wondered, why doesn't the telephone go out too? You know, only the electricity goes out, but the telephone and the cable TV, right? But I don't get cable TV, but I know everybody that does has that problem. And it's always cable TV, and it's always electricity, but the phone is almost always there. So I called up Long Island Lighting Company to tell them, hey, guess what? For some unknown reason, the power has gone out. But what do you think I got? What do you think I... I am so certain that it's still like this, that... what are we going to do here? We're going to get another one of these friendly dial tones and call up a number, special hotline number for emergencies. Let's see what happens. Oh, yes. The good old Long Island Lighting Company with probably about 3 phone lines to handle everybody. Now, I have been trying constantly since 10 o'clock a.m. on Monday to call them to tell them that the power is out And that's all I get, whether I call at 5 in the morning, 5 in the afternoon, 12 midnight, 11 o'clock in the morning, any time, I get that. I get that same nasty sound. And you know what they did? You know what these nasty people did? They have numbers set up in different parts. They have Nassau County numbers, and they have Suffolk County numbers. So I figured, hey, you know, I know how the system works. I know they all tie into a computer network somehow. I'm going to call the Nassau number. Okay, I call the Nassau number and say, hey, you in Nassau, who's probably not as busy as the people in Suffolk, can you please report the fact that my power is out? You know, it's something I think that would be reasonable. Well, not only were they sarcastic, but they were completely rude, and they even hung up on me at one point because I was asking them to please just, you know, send a message to somebody in the Suffolk Bureau that there's no power in this particular area. But no, they couldn't do that. Sir, you have to call this particular number that has been busy now continuously for 3 days, and there's no way that we, even though we're in the same company, there is no way that we can tell anybody that your power is out, and there's nothing that anybody can do. And needless to say, throughout the Western Suffolk area, there has not been, and I have a lot of people that can vouch for this, there has not been a single sighting of a local truck any place. They're all out east in the Hamptons, which is fine, you know. I mean, people in the Hamptons need them, but also people in other parts of the island need them as well, and they are being ignored. And I can attest to this personally because there is not that much damage in the areas that I have seen. Not that much damage at all. Everything has been cleaned up, but the only thing that hasn't been fixed is the electricity. There's cables lying on the ground and nobody is touching them. Now, there's a humorous side to all this because you realize just how dependent you are on technology and on electricity. Now, somebody like me that is a computer hacker and deals with telephones all the time, well, at least I have the telephone still, but there is so much you cannot do. There is so much you can't do without electricity. You know, you can't read, you can't stay up late. I mean, I've been going to bed at, you know, reasonable times, and that's just not like me to do that. You can't see what you're doing. You can't sign on to computer networks and greet people and communicate. You sort of fall into this little shell, and you just find yourself waking up when the sun comes up and going to sleep when the sun goes down. You know, sort of like what people have been doing for all time, but you start losing that certain zest, that certain mischievous nature that allows you to go out and, I don't know, do whatever it is you want to do. You need electricity. You can't watch television. You can barely listen to the radio, and your batteries die before you know it, in many senses. So it's sad. And, you know, I've seen the same thing in other people. I was driving down various suburban streets, and there's people, you know, just sort of standing by the side of the road, and they're just staring, looking for something to do. There is nothing for them to do. They're just sort of hanging out by the side of the road looking pathetic. And, you know, you think of people in developing countries, third world nations, that just sort of look forlorn or are portrayed as looking forlorn on the television, trying to find food, trying to find water, trying to figure out how to do their wash in the river or something like that. And you realize, hey, we're not so far from that, because all you have to do is take away our electricity, and all of a sudden we start losing our purpose in life, to keep going, to progress. And you take away people's electricity for a few days, and they just start looking completely different. They look really shabby, they can't wash, they can't shave, they can't do all kinds of things. So it's an awakening. You know, you sort of are shaken and brought back to your true position in the universe. So, yes, I'm humbled by this, but I'm still angry, because I know this shouldn't have to be. There is no reason for this to be going on. I mean, at least if you're going to lose power for a week, you should at least have some devastation around you. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. You know, have some carnage and broken houses and trees and everything around you. Have devastation, disaster, destruction. But one wire falling on a main road just doesn't cut it for me. So let's hope they get the message. Although I don't know how they're going to get the message. I mean, you can't call them. what good is an emergency line if in emergency it doesn't work? You know? I mean, it doesn't do anybody any good. So, I don't know what to do about it. If there's anybody out there that works for Loco, please tell them to get on the ball and send some trucks around and start restoring power. Now, those of you, of course, that subscribe to the 2600 magazine, well, you're going to be seeing an issue that comes out very late, maybe not even in the right season. The summer issue may very well come out in the fall because there is no power. There is no way to do anything. So that's just the way things are. I can actually check right now and see if power has been restored, because the 2600 fax line would pick up the phone if there was power, and obviously would not pick up the phone if there was not power. So let's see if they are out there. Now I hear it ringing, but I don't hear any pickups. That, incidentally, folks, is a crossbar ring, number 5 crossbar. One of a dying breed. But it's beautiful nonetheless. And I learned something about the phone system, too. It was completely overloaded, but it worked. It never failed. But it was very hard getting through sometimes. You had to wait about 20 seconds to get dial tones. And there was one point where I was calling the Loco number, which is in a different central office. It's an electronic central office. And I was getting a local crossbar busy. It was never leaving the crossbar. And instead of giving me a reorder, in other words, a fast busy, it would give me a regular busy signal, which the only thing I can imagine would cause that is if the whole system was just completely messed up and it just tripped over to the busy tone generator for no apparent reason, because there is no way it could have gone out and checked to see if the number was really busy and then come back and said, okay, send him a busy signal. Crossbar just doesn't work that way. Maybe ISDN in the future will work that way, but we're nowhere near that now. So while we saw the phone system become taxed to its almost to its limit, the electricity simply snapped like a twig. Except more electric lines seem to have snapped than twigs. So that's another issue. All right, now on to the real news. These are petty concerns, I realize that, but they affect some people, but not a whole lot, at least not in the area. We had momentous occasions going on over the past couple of days, and I've been glued to the shortwave. I've had to string up an alternative way of listening since there was no power where I was. And we had a bunch of people trying to tune in Radio Moscow. I don't know if anybody out there has been successful. We'll be taking a few phone calls in a little while to see what people have been doing. If you have any frequencies to pass along, that would be the time to do it. If you have a shortwave radio, these are most certainly interesting times to listen to it. You can hear BBC virtually every hour on the hour give excellent reports. Radio Moscow is rather hard to find. They are almost impossible to find lately. I don't know why that is, if it's atmospheric or because of the troubles over there. They were almost impossible to find last night, but we were able to track them down, and they had quite a few interesting comments. I remember one in particular concerned the Prime Minister, Pavlov, and his particular health problems. We're calling it the Moscow flu. Everybody is sort of coming down with these illnesses all of a sudden. And Pavlov was described on Radio Moscow as suffering from a hypertensive crisis. I mean, the phraseology in situations like this is simply priceless. Hypertensive crisis. I mean, I guess that's what you can call the whole situation in itself, and maybe it's sort of a microcosm of what's happening with Pavlov. The health of President Gorbachev was described as grave last night on Radio Moscow. And they also were talking about curfews being in effect from 11 p.m. To 5 a.m. and various other things as well. Now, what we are about to hear now is something that was taped a few hours ago off the Radio Moscow World Service. This was actually aimed at Europe, and we were able to pick it up here. And It's basically a roundup of the news after it was learned that that Gorbachev had won, would be coming back to power, and after it was learned that the coup had failed. So we'll listen to the news from Moscow today, and then we'll be taking some phone calls at 212-279-3400 here on WBAI. The program is Off the Hook, and we're today taking a look at some alternative communications. If you have your shortwave, we'll probably have some frequencies to read later. 279-3400, area code 212. Today's Radio Moscow. We missed the very first few seconds of this because, well, it's very hard to tune in sometimes. You know, you hear the station coming on the air, right? You hear Radio Moscow coming, and then they start speaking in a different language, so you have to quickly look for another station that's speaking English. And fortunately, we were able to find one. So here is what they had to say, and please excuse the reception. This did come all the way from the other side of the world.
Law enforcement bodies have assumed control over these bodies. Together with the defense ministry, law enforcement bodies are to guarantee the safe return of President Gorbachev to his Kremlin residence for performing his duties. Meanwhile, the Soviet Procurator General has started criminal proceedings against members of the illegally formed State Committee for the State of Emergency, charging them with crimes against the state. Speaking on local television, the president of Kazakhstan, Nursultan Nazarbayev, has announced that he spoke on the phone with Mikhail Gorbachev tonight. The Soviet president told him that he spent all these days in complete isolation at his summer home in the Crimea. He's in good health. According to Nazarbayev, Mikhail Gorbachev described the situation in the country as a right-wing military coup. Gorbachev also announced that members of the self-proclaimed State Emergency Committee, Oleg Bakhtanov, Vladimir Kryuchkov, Alexander Tsitsikov, Dmitry Yazov, as well as the head of the National Parliament, Anatoly Lukyanov, and Deputy General Secretary of the Communist Party, Vladimir Ivashka, were in the reception room of his office. The same day, President Bush spoke on the phone with Mikhail Gorbachev. According to President Bush, who told correspondents about the conversation, the Soviet president, he said, had returned to performing his duties as the head of state. Mikhail Gorbachev praised the support of Western leaders for him and said he was turning to return to Moscow soon. According to the latest reports, the situation in Moscow and other Soviet cities where a state of emergency was introduced is gradually growing stable. The leadership of the defense ministry decided to pull out army units from the areas of the state of emergency to their bases. The curfew has been lifted in Moscow. Turks has officially announced that restrictions introduced by the former State Emergency Committee on the publication of newspapers are being lifted. It was announced at the extraordinary session of the Russian Parliament that Russian television and radio will resume their work on Thursday. President Mikhail Gorbachev was removed from power by force on Sunday night because he refused to sign a decree on the introduction of a state of emergency in the country. This was disclosed at a Moscow news conference by the president of the Union of Science and Industry, Arkady Volsky. What has happened was described as proof of Gorbachev's miscalculations in choosing his ministers and aides. Volsky said reports about the president's ill health and inability to perform his duties were an invention. According to Volsky, Mikhail Gorbachev, who phoned him last Saturday, said he felt well but had a slight attack of radiculitis, which he had had before. Volsky flatly denied rumors that Mikhail Gorbachev was aware of the planned coup. He placed the entire responsibility for the safety and health of the president on members of the emergency committee. Volsky demanded the immediate convocation of an extraordinary congress of seated deputies where President Gorbachev is to speak. You're listening to the news from Moscow. The commander of Soviet troops in Germany, Colonel General Burzakov, has reaffirmed that their withdrawal is conducted according to plan agreed upon by the two countries. The pullout is to be completed by the end of 1994. The general made the statement at his Wednesday meeting with the Prime Minister of Brandenburg, Manfred Stolper. According to an ADN report, Stolper said it was agreed to maintain peaceful neighborly relations with Soviet troops and the German authorities. The Interior Minister of Brandenburg, Alvin Kugel, added that his government feels responsible for the security of Soviet servicemen stationed there and their families. Another round of talks between the Soviet Union and Poland about the withdrawal of Soviet troops from Poland started in Warsaw on Wednesday. Though there's not yet an agreement on the score, the Soviet units are already being withdrawn from the country. A battalion of Soviet troops left yesterday the Polish city of Belgrade in the northwest of the country in compliance with the plan. Consultations have started in Beijing between Soviet Deputy Foreign Minister Alexander Belomazov and his Chinese counterpart Yang Shujiang. They center around the situation in the Middle East and the Persian Gulf. The two sides have stressed the importance of a comprehensive settlement, the solution of the Palestinian problem, and the convocation of a peace conference for the purpose. The Swiss police reported on Wednesday that they arrested one of the three possible assassins of the Iranian leader Shahbul Bakhtiar, the last prime minister of the Shah regime. He lived in exile in the vicinity of Paris. Shahbul Bakhtiar was assassinated on August 8th. The criminals also killed his secretary. The Swiss police believe that the detainee, who has no documents, is called Akili Vakili Rad. He's one of the three men who were the last to visit Bakhtiar. In Belgrade, the collective presidency of Yugoslavia is having a second day of sessions. The meeting is attended by the heads of the federation's parliaments and governments, delegates from a number of union secretariats, and presidents of Yugoslav republics. Croatia and Bosnia and Herzegovina are represented by their prime ministers. The mode of operation of the government system throughout the three-month moratorium on the independence of Slovenia and Croatia is the main item on the agenda. The government of Yugoslavia has drawn up a package of measures to that effect. The Bakhtiar News Agency reports that the units of the Ministry of State Security of Afghanistan have held a successful operation on combing the suburbs of Kabul. They seized 10 ground-to-ground missiles, about 15 kilograms of explosives, over 70 various mines, grenades, and ammunition. In the provinces of Logar, Ghazni, and Gilmand, government troops made powerful blows on the enemy concentrations. The Mujahideen have sustained serious losses. The military tribunal in Bucharest has started discussing the curtailment of the prison term of the son of the Romanian dictator Ceausescu Nicu, sentenced to 16 years of jail for genocide against the Romanian people. The man suffers from cirrhosis of the liver and requires hospital treatment. The Soviet rescue plane that left Cape Town and flew to the Antarctica to help the 172 scientists jammed in the ice aboard the vessel Mikhail Somov landed this morning at the ice airfield of the Molodyozhny station. The plane has delivered an expedition that will carry the wintering party to Cape Town, from where they will set off for home aboard the Soviet research vessel. The head of the operation, Artur Chilingarov, awaits the plane's arrival in Cape Town on Thursday. And now to end the news, the headlines once again. The President of the Soviet National Parliament has declared illegal the actual removal of President Gorbachev from performing his constitutional duties and their transfer to the Vice President. The commander of Soviet troops in Germany has confirmed that their withdrawal is conducted according to plan. Soviet-Chinese consultations centering around Mid-Eastern problems have started in Beijing. And with those headlines, we end the news.
And I suppose the experts out there can probably tell us what that music means. The sort of somber classical music probably means something in Radio Moscow terminology. But the news is good tonight. People power has prevailed, and things may get back to as normal as they can get. We'll be taking phone calls at 212-279-3400, but first a dedication to the people who stood in front of tanks, stood on top of tanks, and got democracy the hard way. Get out there and stand in front of an armored personnel carrier. You never know until it happens. And who knows, it could happen. It could happen anywhere. And of course it happens figuratively, symbolically, all the time. And you just have to never back down from what you really believe in. And never allow your beliefs to be compromised by people that either don't understand or don't care or do understand and do care, but in a very bad way. Well, I hope the people in Brooklyn get the message, too, because there's a lot of nonsense going on out there. I just actually arrived. I decided to route my way through Crown Heights to see just what was going on. It was a nasty sight tonight, folks. Nasty sight indeed. Just mobs of people running around, doing all kinds of things. And what I was particularly struck by was driving through there, having several people, at least four or five different people, running up to the car and saying, "Go back, don't go there, you don't want to go up ahead." And these, you know, these are black people warning a white person not to get involved in a potentially deadly confrontation. This is not about race, folks. This is not about race. Black people do not hate white people in this city, and vice versa. It's about ignorance. It's about hatred, stupidity, and racism. And it's got to be wiped out one way or the other. And certainly retribution and strong words and people breaking and looting and pillaging and attacking people based on color and religion, that's not going to get us any further. We need a group of people to actually have the guts to stand up and say, this is not right, and the sooner the better. Okay, we're going to take phone calls at 212-279-3400. Before we take the first phone call, however, what I would like to do is make a phone call, or I should say attempt to make a phone call. And let's try to actually get through to something here. It's probably not going to work, but we know that.
Mayor Parsons, can I help you?
Yes, can I have the long distance company? I forget its name.
One moment for an operator who can assist you.
Thank you. Oh, what a decrepit recording.
AT&T on Grandview.
Wow. Yes, hello. I'm trying to reach a number in the Soviet Union. Is that possible?
I can connect you to the operator. I don't know what, you know, she has.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
Yes. No circuit. Try to call later.
There's no circuits. Well, thanks so much for being so polite there and hanging up before I even had a chance to even hear what she said. But that's what happens if you try to call the Soviet Union. It's not easy. Not easy at all. Okay, 212-279-3400. We're taking phone calls about, if anyone out there has been listening to the shortwave and has heard anything that perhaps we haven't gotten to here on BAI. And if anyone has any thoughts in general, we're trying to approach this from sort of a technological angle, as this is a technological program, but we'll allow some leeway. This is a rather special occasion. Good evening. Waited all that time to hang up? Wow, okay. Got to respect that. Good evening.
WBAI?
That's the station, and you're on the air.
Okay, Emmanuel, my name is Dave from Lower Westchester. You were playing a tape of Radio Moscow before.
Yes.
I just wanted to let you and your listeners know that between now and 10 o'clock, they can be found on the 31-meter band, 9685 kilohertz.
How strong is that signal coming in?
It was kind of a little wavery in southern Westchester, but it was solid on the frequency. It was not fading in and out. It was just a weak signal. You could definitely understand the announcer. At this point, I think they're in the middle of a music program, but when I tuned in, right before you started playing your Radio Moscow tape, they were discussing an alleged incursion, either a Soviet incursion over Japanese airspace or vice versa.
What, today?
Yes, just now.
Uh-oh, what's going on out there? Into Japanese airspace, and what has happened as a result of this?
I had to make a choice of either listening to that or listening to you, and it was like at the end of the report, and there was like no information.
I see. Okay, well, that's something we've got to keep our eye upon then.
To shoot it down was made.
Say that again?
They're basically saying that no attempt to intercept or shoot down or anything like that was made. They just left it at that.
This is a Soviet aircraft going into Japanese airspace.
But that's the impression that I got. The Radio Moscow was saying that the Japanese were claiming this.
I see. And was this a passenger liner or a
these were military craft.
Military craft. Okay.
Military craft.
That frequency again was 9685.
9685 kilohertz in the 31 meter band. That frequency should be good until 10 o'clock this evening.
Okay. And do you know what frequency they go to after that?
No, I have a list of them. I use the World Radio TV handbook. I'm using last year's edition, so some of the frequencies have changed. They do change from year to year. Incidentally, that's a publication that I recommend to any of your listeners who have shortwave radio.
Yes, I agree. Can you read off the address? It's probably in the front of the book, some people that want to get that.
I don't have it with me, but I picked up my copy last year at the commuter bookstore in Grand Central Terminal. I know that it's available in quite a number of bookstores. I'd recommend walking into any B. Dalton or Barnes & Noble or just about any of the major bookseller chains.
Okay, also another good book for that kind of thing is Passport to World Band Radio, which also it gives you an incredible chart as to what is on every frequency, what language they're speaking, what service, where they're aiming, and the power that they actually are transmitting from. Incredible amount of information, and you can probably find that in the same place. But I know that Barry Electronics has it on Broadway downtown, so they carry those publications. Any radio, ham radio kind of a store, I guess, would have that too. So, there's a lot of information you can get out there, and we're finding that out in times of crisis. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the information. And we'll move on now to another call. Good evening.
Yeah, hello?
Go ahead.
I would bet that had to do with the Kuril Islands, which are disputed between the Soviets and the Japanese.
That's quite possible. I'm just wondering why all these things are happening in such quick succession.
Okay, I was wondering, I have a question. I have a Yugoslavian friend, and I'd like your opinion on this. We had a discussion on Monday what fallout this attempted coup, and it looked like it was successful on Monday morning, it would have on the Yugoslavian situation. In other words, would the central government in Yugoslavia take this as a cue to crack down on the secessionist republics of Croatia and Slovenia in the same way that it looked like the hardliners in Moscow were going to...
Well, I don't know if this is simply because of the way the media has been covering it and what we've been hearing that way, but I get a sense that there's a sort of an uneasy... sort of shocked silence coming from the Yugoslavs of all kinds as they see what's going on in the Soviet, because the Soviet Union, I see Yugoslavia as kind of a microcosm of the Soviet Union, and as Yugoslavia can break apart and fall into complete chaos, so can the Soviet Union, but with nuclear weapons involved. So in a way, it's kind of like some kids on the block fighting, and then their parents get into the conflict. And they sort of stand back and watch as the parents really take over the fight. Not to say that the Soviets are parents to the Yugoslavs, although in a way that's the way it's been over the past couple of decades. I don't know. It's something that I think the whole world sort of takes a look at this. You notice that not much else was happening conflict-wise in other parts of the globe. Everyone just sort of wanted to see how this was going to turn out. Now I think you might see some reaction, but I don't know what kind of a reaction you're going to get from Yugoslavia.
Did you hear Vladimir Posner? What has he been saying?
I saw Vladimir Posner on TV yesterday, and it was interesting because he came out very firmly against the coup. And I was wondering how they were going to do this, because Radio Moscow, of course, seemed to be in favor of the coup yesterday. And, of course, today they don't. Who pays for Vladimir Posner? You know, he's part of the Soviet regime, whatever that may be. So he has to pretty much figure out what side he's going to be on, or someone has to tell him what side to be on. I don't know how it works. But as of yesterday, he was, I guess he had bet against the coup, and, of course, that was a good bet.
Grazie.
Okay. Thanks for calling. 279-3400, that's our telephone number, area code 212. Program is off the hook. We're on the air for another 13 minutes. Good evening.
Hey, Emmanuel, how you doing?
How are you?
Okay, actually, after about 2 years of dilly-dallying, I finally went out about a week ago and bought myself a shortwave.
Well, you couldn't have done it at a better time.
really, some sort of presence maybe. Anyhow, I don't have any news to contribute, but I have some frequencies your listeners might be interested in.
Well, that's certainly news. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I'm going to hate myself for this, but I really didn't pay much attention to Radio Moscow during the last couple of days. I relied more on the BBC.
Well, the BBC had excellent coverage.
Yeah, although in retrospect, just as a sort of a historical document, I should have listened to it. At any rate, I got it on, this is the 19th, I guess it's Monday. I tuned in at 8:34 our time. I have two frequencies down here, 11710, this is kilohertz.
Yeah, I was listening to 11710, I think 11980.
You also.
I'm sorry?
11710, I also have in parentheses here, 11780.
Do you have 11980? Do you have that one?
No, I just had these two.
Okay.
It was the caller that you had before was describing what a signal was like. It was like that. It was wavering somewhat. It was pretty weak.
Right.
Okay. So at any rate, those are my frequencies in Moscow, for Radio Moscow. I also have Radio Beijing and Radio Prague. I don't know if those are esoteric.
Well, Radio Prague certainly would be interesting at a time like this because they're keeping a very close eye on the situation. Beijing, I don't know. I don't really believe anything to come out of Radio Beijing these days. Why don't you give us Radio Prague?
Okay, Radio Prague. Let's see. I was listening to this. Okay, I had this down on the 14th. This is a while ago. I'm keeping my time in universal time. I have to subtract 4 hours.
Universal time is 4 hours ahead of
right now. So, yeah, this would have been 10 o'clock our time. It was a half-hour radio show on Radio Prague. Frequency was 5930 kilohertz.
And that, if I remember correctly, that's a very strong signal, is it not?
It was surprisingly strong. I mean, I haven't been in the shortwave hobby for more than a week.
Uh-huh.
I do know that, you know, all the European world services broadcast between 5900 and 6200. I mean, at night, when the whole signal path is dark, you know, it's buzzing.
Well, that's a very good slice right there. You have Radio Netherlands, BBC.
Netherlands is very good, too.
Right. I haven't heard their coverage of this, but they've been good in the past.
And, by the way, I don't believe anything coming out of Beijing right now, but, you know, just for interest, maybe I could just give the frequency
sure.
of that.
Go ahead.
Okay, that was at 11675. Also have 11685 down here. Sometimes you can sort of float around within a 5 or 10 kilohertz range.
Uh-huh.
So, as I said, that's Beijing at 11675 and 11685. I was listening to that at about 12:30, a half hour after midnight.
You also get Taiwan. A couple of times. They're carried by a religious station in the United States, so they come in very well.
Oh, you mean it's relayed to the transmitters within the States?
Yeah, just like a lot of Radio Moscow broadcasts come out of Havana, but for some reason, Cuban radio comes in terribly in this country.
I have not been able to get it. I mean, my antenna is stretched along my wall. It's taped. I don't have access to the outside, so I don't know how much of a handicap that is.
It's a significant handicap because really all you have to do, and this is what we did yesterday with in kind of an emergency situation, we strung some speaker wire out the window, maybe about 25 feet worth,
mm-hmm.
and we simply tied it. It was going down in a pretty sharp diagonal. We just tied it to the nearest tree, and you could see the difference. As soon as you plugged it into the shortwave, there were incredible things coming in.
Yeah.
You don't need a very elaborate setup. You can make do with what you have. If you can just get out a little bit, you'll see quite a difference.
Oh, one more thing, by the way.
Yeah.
Right before I got my shortwave, I got this book. I think your listeners are probably familiar with it. It came out in 86, the last edition. It's called The Complete Shortwave Listener's Handbook. Is this okay if I mention the title on the air?
Yeah, go ahead. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's called The Complete Shortwave Listener's Handbook, 3rd edition, by Hank Bennett, Harry Helms, and David Hardy. Harry Helms, by the way, has this underground frequency guide out that I got through. I got through Lumpanix. Some of you listen. I don't know if you're familiar with Lumpanix.
Yeah.
You probably are.
Why don't you just give us that address because we have to move on to some other calls.
Oh, okay. Of Lumpanix.
The address of whatever book it is you're mentioning.
Oh, the book. Okay. Well, the thing is, I bought it in the bookstore. Hang on for a sec. Oh, here we go. It's put out by Tab Books. That's TAB. Okay. Blue Ridge Summit. Three words. Pennsylvania.
Okay.
17294. Coliseum-0850.
Okay, and what bookstore did you get that in?
I got that at Coliseum Books downstairs.
Okay.
They're a really, really good bookstore on 7th, I believe it's Broadway and 57th or somewhere
yeah.
around there. They're on the corner.
Okay, we're going to move on to some more calls.
Okay, thanks a lot, Manuel. Take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks for the information. 279-3400, let's try to get through these. Good evening.
Evening to you.
How are you?
Doing okay. I have a couple of questions and a few comments, if I may.
Go ahead.
I need the address to 2600 and Lumpanics, if you have it.
Okay. I don't have Lumpanics with me, since I work for 2600. That one I have in my head. Lumpanics, I'm sure somebody, another listener, will call in with that information. If not, you can certainly get it from a bookstore. Okay, 2600 is at Post Office Box 752 in Middle Island, New York, zip 11953. Ordinarily, I would give a phone number out, but since there's no power at 2600, you won't get anything except a ring.
Now, the reason why they don't have power right now, you know, why the phones keep working, phones run on batteries.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why the phone system works, but why do the wires never come down? That's my question.
That's true.
Yeah.
Pull them closer to the ground.
I don't know if that's the reason, but it's a theory.
You were asking about alternative forms of communication, and I found a very nice phenomenon. You know how they have all these 900 numbers where you can talk to 6-7 people at once?
Right.
And I found some chat systems that work with the computer, and they don't really cost a lot.
Uh-huh. Well, it depends what you're running it on. I mean, if you're on a Unix system, you know, it might not cost anything at all if you're running it through a particular school or something like that.
No, actually, a lot of these are run out of people's houses. You got a number of them here in Jersey, a couple in New York.
Well, if they want to be publicized, if you send the number into the magazine, we'll print it, we'll publicize it, and more people can take advantage of it.
Sounds good.
If that's what they want. All right?
Can I give a number out or no?
Sure, give a number out if it's a number that wants to be given out. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, okay. We got a system in New Jersey. It's called The Jungle. It's a 10-line chat system, and the number is area code 201-694-5081, and that's 3 to 2400 baud.
Okay. Thanks for the information. Let's take a couple more calls. Good evening.
Okay. I'm going to have to rush since we've come to the end of the show. Radio Havana, Cuba can be gotten at 11950. It's on right now. They're playing music. Radio Moscow, you could get 9685 and 31 meter band is probably the best. Also at 11735 and 11850.
Are those on now?
Those are on now, but the one that the previous caller gave is probably the best. They're all three on now. They're all listed in Popular Communications list of frequencies quarterly where you can get it. And they seem to be very low-key. The American network seem to be giving the whole coup much more of a play than the Radio Moscow World Service because they went to their regularly scheduled classical music hour, which they're doing now. And at 10 o'clock our time, they're supposed to be going back to the news. And even the news briefs were very matter-of-fact. And before that, they seemed to have a routine report on what's happening in North Korea and relations with them and so on. It was very, very low-key. The American networks are having specials and all sorts of things that are going on.
So let me ask you one question. Is there any frequency below 9685 that comes on later?
That comes on later. Well, 9530 is listed. I'm looking in the list right now. I don't see any, but 9685 seemed to be the most listenable. I got it in northern Manhattan fairly strong, but with intermittent interference. But it's listenable if
okay.
you listen closely to it.
Thanks for
and
the information.
And also there's an antenna. I just have about 20-odd feet of copper wire running inside the apartment, because if you're in an apartment like most of us, you
right.
can just run copper wire all throughout the apartment and the ceiling. It doesn't take up any space, and you'll dramatically improve the reception if you're unable to go outdoors.
Okay. Thanks again for the information, and I hope everybody got that down. So for one more phone call, everybody else, we're really sorry about. Good evening. Here are the winner.
Oh, yeah, Manny.
How you doing?
Yeah, listen, you have a really great program going here tonight, especially with the clip from Radio Moscow.
Uh-huh.
The thing I was wondering about, where's WBAI News Department with all its blood running in the streets of Brooklyn?
Where are they? I mean, I know they are running around in Brooklyn. Are you saying they should be or shouldn't be?
BAI, that's where you always turn to get all the information on any subject, such as your show.
Uh-huh.
It's really great. But here's an emergency occurring downtown, and it's not a worry.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. I was driving through that emergency before, and I can tell you, I was listening to WCBS, WINS, and WBAI, and CBS and INS had maybe 30-second spots on it. BAI had something like a 10-minute piece, and if you missed it, I think...
I heard the caller call in from the phone booth.
Right.
But that isn't coverage like they are expected to do. And your program, great show. I've been listening to you since it came on every week, and it's really interesting to find out more things about things I didn't know about.
Okay, well, that's what we're here for. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening. And again, folks, if you missed the thing on what's going on in Brooklyn, the news will be repeated at 11 o'clock tonight, and there'll be periodic updates as situation warrants. That's going to just about do it for us here tonight on Off the Hook. Again, sorry to everybody we didn't get a chance to get to, and thanks for all the information that did come in tonight. Keep listening to those shortwave radios. Keep listening to everything else as well, and pass the information on to us and to those around you. Off the Hook, we'll be back next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Stay tuned for the computer show.
The phone is ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Or they live on for the best, expect the worst.
And next up is going to be the computer show. Let's hear a message. This is WBAI, New York.
Stay awake, don't rest your head. Don't